Welcome. Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists. Is Vinnie's jokes. And my God, they're bad. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode. And today, what we are going to be doing is checking out a brand new product, which is called the Spike Protein Detox, developed here in New Zealand by the wonderful Matt Bowden. And if you want to go to the website, you can type in Spike Protein Detox, one word, .site, S-I-T-E, Spike Protein Detox, .site. And it'll bring up, for those of you who are listening live on the internet streams, this page here. Now, at the moment, we are still waiting on Matt to get his computer restarted, so he'll be joining the call momentarily, and we'll be able to get hear from him. But in the meantime, what we're going to do for you is try and play, if we can, the video that Matt has just sent me. It's a brand new one on the site, so we're just going to play that here for you. And hopefully you guys will be able to hear it, because it's I'm actually taking this spike protein detox at the moment, and it's it's heavy stuff, man. It's heavy stuff. What we're gonna do is just get the audio sorted, and then we're gonna be live on this video in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.
Spike Detox long haul support from Extra Life Health Sites in New Zealand. Virus, infections, injections, and even personal connections can leave a toxic residue. Spike proteins are the hooks on the outside of the virus which attach and gain entry to your cells. They fit like a key into these ACE receptors, unlocking the cellular walls to gain viral entry. Spike proteins are still found in the body even months after an exposure, leaking from your intestines, out into your bloodstream, to wreak havoc with your ACE system, hitting those ACE receptors, which can disrupt normal blood and heart processes, which means a slower recovery for those people who can't break them down easily. Spike Detox is a formula to support your body in normal functions, including detox after exposure to those spike glycoproteins. Spike Detox is inspired by four everyday plant medicines, two plants that support the cellular walls and two that support the detox. Supercomputers predicted that black seed and quercetin have got molecules that fit the ACE receptor sites to protect them, to support normal heart and blood processes and normal cellular wall integrity. The spike proteins are a glycoprotein. Some people can break down glycoproteins easily, but other people benefit from support. Pineapple's bromelain enzymes break down glycoproteins. That's how pineapple juice tenderizes steak. Bromelain dissolves glycoproteins, which supports natural detoxification for those people who need it. N-acetylcysteine is a stable form of the amino acid cysteine, which has been inspired by similar compounds found in garlic. It's an antioxidant powerhouse which is shown to increase bromelain's ability to dissolve spike glycoproteins. Spike Detox therefore supports normal heart and blood functions, normal cellular walls, and natural detoxification, because not everybody's bouncing back quickly. Spike Detox is available from Extra Life at xtralife.co.nz. Take note, this product's a dietary supplement. It's not a medicine. They can't diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. These are herbal extracts and nutrients which support your body in its natural processes to maintain a state of wellness. If you're experiencing illness or disease, please consult a health professional.
So yeah, fantastic display of how cell membranes and all of the interconnected tissues of the body sort of work here in this regard. So great work there. We're now joined by Matt Bowden from extralife.co.nz. Matt, welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Vinny. How are you today?
You know, I'm borderline and on fabulous. Other than that, like crap. But thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know we only have less than an hour with you today because you've got another meeting. So, without, as they say in Israel, further ado, let's get the cards on the table. What is Spike Protein Detox? Why did you develop it? What's going on here?
Okay, so this is comes about from the beginning of the pandemic, I guess, looking at how our governments were offering a vaccination program, which was optional, and that, realizing that not everybody would want to take part in the vaccination program, looking at what other things we could do instead. When I saw the spelling of the virus, I guess, my background is in drug design. I've managed and run a pharmaceutical company in New Zealand for maybe 20 years and have worked at the coalface of negotiating safety standards with the government for psychoactive drugs. And so my expertise is in all areas of drug design, in pharmacology, and particularly in toxicology, and looking at what safety tests we do on a new drug to work out if it's safe enough for the people or not, and what can go wrong if we skip those safety tests. And so I was, to be honest, a little concerned when we first saw that the virus had spike proteins on the outside. The claws of the virus, if you like, are a specific shape which can fit into receptor sites in our body. And that's how they gain access to our cells. And the particular receptor site they were using, that ACE2 receptor site, is one which sort of switches on and off different functions in the blood and the heart. And so having a virus with a little key on the edge of it, which can lock into that receptor site, lock into that keyhole and flick that switch, would mean that people were going to have issues with clotting, with heart failure and other organ failure. And so then we saw that's what the virus looked like. And then we saw that the vaccination programs involved producing more of these spike proteins in the body. I personally felt that that was quite a high-risk strategy. And then when we learned that these were going to be wrapped in a lipid protein, my team who deal with lipid proteins and make products like this all the time said, hey, you know, that's never really been tested before. We weren't confident that lipid was going to hold the drug in the deltoid as it was intended. And we're highly concerned that that we might have quite a lot of the same organ failure, clotting, and heart issues with the injections as we were seeing with the virus itself. So that was our main concern, really. And so we looked at what could we do to sort of protect our bodies some more, and, you know, what's another layer of support we could offer for people that didn't want to use this drug, or for people who were using the drug or being exposed to COVID. Whatever the issue was, for us, we felt the main harm was the spike proteins themselves. And so we looked at how can we protect ourselves from that spike protein in case the lipid fails and the drug spreads to the other organs of the body, and also in case of exposure to other people who were, you know, carrying spike proteins. That's really where the vision came from. Also concern that maybe our children or other people around us might be coerced into using the drug when their body couldn't really handle it. So the research we did taught us that the spike protein is a glycoprotein. Glycoproteins are normally broken down by the body by certain enzymes, but not everybody has those enzymes. And so some people, when they get exposed to a spike protein, either through a virus or through injections, whether it's through an infection, an injection, or a personal connection, some people seem to be able to break those down and other people can't. And I think this is what's behind a lot of the long COVID and even vaccination injection reactions that we're seeing, is it's a reaction to that spike protein and not being able to break it down. So if we just have a look at how our bodies break down the spike protein, normally they do that with certain enzymes. And so we looked at which enzymes are readily available. And so there's things like natokinase out there, what a lot of people talk about, which comes out of soy, you know, fermented soy products, I think. But and then there's things like bromelain, which comes out of pineapple, and also N-acetylcysteine. And so we looked at those and realized that natokinase is not readily absorbable by the body. It's got a low bioavailability. You have to eat quite a lot of it, and it's hit and miss getting it into your bloodstream. But the NAC and the bromelain together, there was research that people had done even in Australia when they were looking for a cancer medicine that found that those two act synergistically together. And if you take spike proteins and you put them in a petri dish and you put this combination on them, then it dissolves them. So we knew, we were reasonably confident that that would be able to break down spike proteins. But we also looked at what can we do at that ACE receptor site. It's the doorway into our cells, which the spikes are using. So whether you've encountered the spikes through an injection or through an infection or through personal connection, that's how they get into your cells. And supercomputers were used at the beginning of the pandemic. There were a number of different studies. People asked the computers, okay, so this is what the virus looks like. This is what a human body looks like. What's going to happen? And the prediction was, again, okay, the shape of that spike on the outside of the virus fits into these receptor sites. And so it's going to cause havoc with that ACE system, that heart and blood regulation system. And these are, here's a list of compounds which would competitively sort of protect that receptor site, which would block that entry point. And so the computer sort of models predicted a number of compounds. A lot of them were from nature. And so we thought, well, let's look at some natural compounds where we know the safety level of them and which are readily available. And the things that came up were quercetin and black cumin seed. Now, quercetin was actually discovered by the same guy who discovered vitamin C. He called it vitamin P. That's a bioflavonoid. It's in things like onions, a lot of vegetables and fruits. Quercetin and thymoquine was the compound which came out of black cumin seed. Very commonly used in the diet every day. At the right levels, they will sort of sit over that receptor site, if you like, and compete with spikes coming in, whether they're from an infection or injection or a connection. So we created this formulation with a compound of those four ingredients and made it available. So that's the story, if that makes sense.
It does. It does indeed. Now, the question I've really kind of been thinking about is what kind of opposition would this kind of treatment have? Because, you know, they say that there's only two sins in medicine. One is to kill you and the other is to cure you.
Okay, yes. Well, from our perspective, we're just trying to develop a solution that's going to support people's their body and its natural systems. The way that the world is set up at the moment is that we've got these corporations who are developing pharmaceuticals, and they've worked very hard with governments to set up bodies to stop other people coming onto their turf. And I guess on one side of it, they're wanting to prevent snake oil products coming along and making claims. But also, you could argue that they're trying to create an entry barrier to stop new products coming on the market. And so what we are not prepared to do is we're not prepared to make any promises or claims that this product is going to treat any disease or diagnose any disease or prevent any disease. So we're not going to do that. What we are going to do is we're not going to talk about really disease. So we're not going to talk about COVID, but we are going to talk about your body's natural systems. And we are still allowed to eat things which can support our body's natural systems. We're allowed supplements. We're allowed to support our body's normal system. And so this product is going to support your body's normal detoxification systems. Your body normally detoxifies from spike proteins by dissolving them using certain enzymes. And it normally supports its heart system by having other compounds which work in with those ACE receptors. That's what this product does. It supports those normal systems, normal blood, normal heart, normal detoxification. And we're not trying to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, I think that what's interesting about this is how ubiquitous its use could really be because of these spike proteins. They're in everybody now, aren't they?
I think so. I don't think that initially at the start of the pandemic, we had people saying that they were pure bloods because they hadn't taken the injection. And there were other people, let's just say I don't think that we have really pure bloods anymore, because you can pick up spike proteins from, you know, the virus. I believe there is a virus. A lot of people don't believe in viruses, but I think that we can, you know, create a strand of DNA, RNA, wrap it in a capsid, and then put it out there. And or we could take a virus from the wild, and we can modify it. So I think that viruses are a real thing, or that there are very real contagions that can be sent around the place. So you can be exposed to spike proteins from that. You can pick them up from somebody sneezing or coughing, I believe. Also, you can be exposed through that injection. The lipid, from what we understand from the biodistribution studies provided by the by Pfizer to the governments, the Japanese government sort of leaked it out, and we could see biodistribution studies showing that spikes were distributed all through the organs of the body. So that tells us that the lipid envelope that was supposed to contain the drug just to the deltoid, to the arm, failed, and the spikes were through the body. So you can encounter them through injections or through infections or just from connections. A lot of people, particularly practitioners who didn't use the drug, are finding that they've got a lot of spikes in their system after treating people who have got, you know, who are overrun with spikes. And so that sort of lends us to believe that perhaps these things can spread from person to person, just as all of the RNA drugs did in animals and animal studies. So that was to be expected.
It's kind of like a bioweapon that you can give out that just keeps on giving. But when we're talking about the things like this, and by the way, everybody, this video is going to be deleted off of YouTube and Facebook. So go to twitch.tv/Vinny Eastwood. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news if you do want to continue watching this. So the thing here is, when people are looking at a solution, they go like, my goodness, this is something that's going to take me a week. I've actually got the bottle and everything there, so I'm going to go run and grab that in a second. So the question is, why was this so needed right now? Like, what is the spike proteins actually doing to people? What's so bad about them?
Okay, so spike proteins, I think there's a growing sort of body of research showing that the symptoms of long COVID, some people seem to be able to bounce back after catching the sort of SARS-CoV-2 virus, and other people don't bounce back so well. And so we have this long COVID condition, and I think we're starting to see that a lot of that is actually caused by the spikes themselves. And so some research was done. I've seen one study where a group took they produced a virus, if you like, without any RNA or DNA inside of it, just the spikes, and gave that to animals. And the animals exhibited all the same sort of symptoms of long COVID or from an injury, which sort of leads us to believe that the spikes themselves are the problem, and they're not going away.
You mentioned long COVID. What is that? What are the symptoms that we're talking about here?
Well, typical things that people are seeing are fatigue, a brain fog, respiratory distress, and other organs sort of starting to sort of pack it in. And then we also have, even if you look in New Zealand at the government's website, MedSafe website, we see this vaccine-acquired immune deficiency being listed as a side effect. I think the German health authorities, or certainly the insurance groups up there, are suggesting that vaccine injury and long COVID are really the same thing. And I'm not a doctor. I can't really comment much further on that.
Well, I mean, of course you can't. And conveniently, here's a break to cut us off from that. Medical disclaimer at holdenhealthcare.com, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break with the wonderful Starboy Matt Bowden. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.
Einstein.
Welcome back. It's going down. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about Beverly Hills going down. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on republicbroadcasting.org out of Austin, Texas, and also live on kiwiradio.fm. And we are currently broadcasting on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube simultaneously. But of course, with all the censorship of the YouTube and Facebook platforms. We're going to be deleting this show right after the broadcast. So if you are watching right now and you haven't seen the whole show and it just gets deleted all of a sudden, go to vinnyeastwood.com. And on the latest page, this archive should be there, and there will be copies of it on the Vinnie Eastwood BitChute, the Vinnie Eastwood Odyssey, and the Vinnie Eastwood Rumble, the non-censored platforms. And of course, the replays will be available at any time from twitch.com/Vinnie Eastwood. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. My very special guest today, Matt Bowden, one of the... Is he one of the, or is he the developer? He's one of the developers of the Spike Protein Detox, available at extralife.co.nz. That's extra, just with an X, no E in that one. Matt, welcome back.
Hi.
So please just give us a little bit more of a rundown. I mean, how much are we talking here? How long do people have to take it for?
So the course that we prescribe, well, the course that we suggest, I think is probably a better word, is that for Spike Detox, is that over 1 week, you take 30 capsules. And so on day one, just take one capsule and see how you feel. And this is just a good practice with any supplement, really, because you might be allergic to something in there. You might be allergic to pineapple, for instance. And the pineapple enzyme, which is in there, bromelain, is it's the same reason why people take some pineapple juice to tenderize a tough steak. It's because bromelain breaks down glycoproteins. That's what holds a steak together, and that's what the spike is. So you start off just by taking one capsule, and then take another one at the other end of the day if everything felt fine. And then the next day, take two capsules morning and night. The next day, three. Do that three for 3 days, and then back to two twice a day, and then one twice a day. So the idea is that you give your body a gentle on and a gentle off. So over those 7 days, you'll have taken 30 capsules, and by then you'll get a feel for, you know, what sort of effect it's having on your body. A lot of people find that over that time period, some of the things that they were feeling, some of the fatigue and brain fog can clear. And that's an indication that there was something in the blood, that there's a toxin that was, you know, slowing things down for you and causing problems, and it's the levels of that have decreased. And so that's a good sign. After that, just wait and see what happens. Because for some people, everything stays at a nice status quo. But for others, that feeling of lethargy and yuck comes back. And why is that? And so we've got a page there on our website, you know, supporting long COVID recovery. And long COVID is a similar sort of a feeling, where there's that lethargy and there's that fatigue every day. And various researchers around the planet, in different countries actually, have looked at the viral subparticles. The spike is a subparticle. It's a smaller part of the larger virus present in the body, and found that in the feces, so what comes out the other end of your gut, spike proteins can still be detected months or even a year after an exposure. So that tells you that there's a reservoir that's hiding in your body, in your intestines. And so even after you've been exposed to, through an injection or an infection or just a close connection to spike proteins, they're not just in your bloodstream, but they're also in your gut. So if you use the detox, the problems go away, and then a few days later it comes back. What that tells you is that that's hiding somewhere, probably in your gut. And your gut walls are these, you know, tight linings like this, and they're sort of pushed open and they start leaking. So you've heard of leaky gut syndrome. Well, spikes can cause that. They annoy the linings of your intestine to the point that it opens up and leaks. And so the toxins, not just the spike, but other toxins which are in your gut, your body's trying to keep them locked up so it can send them out the other end. They're leaking into the bloodstream and causing this horrible feeling. So in that case, we ask people to start, you know, talking to a practitioner about the issue. And if the practitioner you're talking to is not allowed to talk to you about it because they're under some, they've taken some oath and they're worried about losing their job, Find a practitioner who can talk to you about it and work with them to find out if there's other issues going on. But a number of practitioners are telling people to keep taking a product like this for maybe a number of months. And so we've got a program there where you can buy it and get it shipped out once a month for 3 months or 6 months. And a lot of people are finding that helps them to feel better for longer. And that's what it's really all about. If it's working for you and makes you feel a whole lot better, then keep using it.
I mean, that's a general rule of thumb, isn't it? I mean, I was quite surprised at the speed of the delivery of the spike protein detox. It was literally in my driveway the next day. So I was like, whoa, that's good, you know, because if anybody needs this stuff, oh, you want to get it quick, don't you? And so, you know, I was just thinking about this because of you were listing the symptoms of long COVID, and I was thinking, man, I've got that. Hold on a second. I think pretty much everybody I know has got that. And it's like, yeah, it's a scary thing. So we'll talk more about that after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Back in just a moment with the wonderful Matt Bowden from extralife.co.nz.
I am suspect in a bullet investigation.
I want the truth!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about wanting to be Mexican. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest, Matt Bowden, is here with me, and we're talking about the long COVID and the spike protein detox. Matt, I mean, how prevalent is this long COVID? Like, has pretty much everybody got it? Like, because I'm starting to freak out just a little bit.
Again, I don't really want to talk about that disease. I can only talk about wellness, but I know that a lot of people have been exposed to that environmental toxin we call the spike detox. And whether it came from an infection or an injection or just from a close connection, I think everybody has been exposed to that environmental toxin. And I think we're allowed to talk about that environmental toxin and specifically how we can support our bodies to avoid that toxin coming into our cells and how we can sort our bodies to break that toxin down, regardless of whether it came from, you know. I mean, our job, I used to love watching that TV program MASH in the old days of those doctors in the hospital. And if somebody comes into the surgery and they've got a bullet in their back, then we don't want to be spending time arguing about how that bullet got there or whether they believe there's a war happening even. We want to get that bullet out and sew them up. And that's where I'm at with spike detox. If someone's come in and they've got spike proteins in their blood or they're not feeling well, we can look at the blood under a microscope and say, well, there's something wrong here. Try these natural vitamins and let's have another look under the microscope at the blood. And often what we're seeing is that the blood cleans up and comes back into order. And so whether that was from a disease or from a conspiracy or a bioweapon, that's not really my business at all. My business is getting that crap back out of there so you can get up and walk around.
I mean, the thing about it is a lot of people like to complicate things and clip the ticket along the way and form these big organizations and bureaucracies and things of that nature. But that's not what entrepreneurs do. Entrepreneurs simply think of something that nobody else has thought of and do it better than anybody.
Well, sure. Well, I think that a body, a healthy body, is a network or a community of healthy cells. And you, Vinny, probably feel like you're one person, you're one entity. But in actual fact, you are a community of cells. Is it 30 trillion cells? And each one of them, these cells, they are born, they live, they die, they eat, they excrete, they reproduce, just like you and me. Each one of those cells is alive. But together, they form this one organism, which is Vinny. And the same goes for humanity as a whole. Each of us is a cell, and together we are collective. We are one. We are one unit. We're one community. And so we want to have all of our cells healthy. And this is what we want to do. And yeah, sure, entrepreneurs think of ideas. But then what, where I think we've been going wrong is that we've been using our ideas just to benefit ourselves. We've got the selfishness and not realizing that we're one in the community. And so our vision at Extra Life is to do something different and to say we want to follow the same sort of model as what OpenAI are doing, and that is to build a not-for-profit foundation which supports the infrastructure, the health infrastructure in our countries, in our communities. So in New Zealand, for instance, you know, we have a health system. But I came back to New Zealand from overseas. My background, as a lot of people know here, is in developing psychoactive drugs. My mistake that I made after building a massive multi-million dollar pharmaceutical company is I said, why don't we create a safer alternative to alcohol? And of course, that didn't go down well with the industry selling the alcohol. So they pushed the government and I got sort of totally wiped out and obliterated. Lucky I didn't get one of those bullets, actually. But I was sitting in Thailand for 5 years and just chilling out and thinking, how can I do better? And what kept coming back to me is that I needed to use my skills in drug design and in toxicology assessment and go back to New Zealand and provide something else for the community. And this is what it is developing a product, firstly, to protect people's health and to support people's health as they try to deal with spike proteins from injections or connections or infections. And the second thing is to develop other products which can generate enough revenue to be able to provide the detox and recovery stuff for free or heavily subsidized. And so the model that I'm working towards is a not-for-profit where we've got products like our Rewind. Rewind grows your Rewind contains compounds which produce the enzyme in your body which slows down the degradation of your telomeres. And so products like that can increase your telomere length in over 90 days, which equates to, you know, a lower biological age for your body. Products like that, which support people into healthier aging, can be used to supplement products like Spike Detox, which helps people to sort of get clear of toxins. And that's the model we want to go for moving forwards. A not-for-profit organization where consumables, which people can pay for, support the development and delivery of detoxification products to help people support people's wellness for those that really need it and maybe can't afford it.
Well, I mean, basically what you're promoting is the idea of freedom. I remember the health freedom movement told me that your freedom and your health are intricately linked, because if you don't have your health, you can't enjoy your freedom. And if you don't have your freedom, you can't enjoy your health.
I guess so. I mean, I used to campaign for the use of recreational drugs because there were hundreds of thousands of people in our country that were using them and there were laws against it. And so there was that issue of people should have a right to do what they want. But after 15 to 20 years of doing that, and I developed legislation and got it through Parliament, and we presented that at United Nations and were told that this was best practice on the planet, but shut down because it interfered with alcohol sales. But then when I went to thought about it, I thought, what use is freedom if it's paid in a currency that can only be spent on self-destruction? And so we want to have freedom, but we also want to encourage people to use it wisely, you know. And so for now, moving forwards, I want to develop products that don't cause harm, really, and really just develop products that give people clearer thinking to make better decisions. And the long-term side effects are better mind, healthier body, and replenishment of the systems in the body.
And how's the music thing going, Starboy?
Yes. So one of the frustrations for me after building a pharmaceutical company and then taking a band and touring and playing festivals, which was a lot of fun, you know, a big dream playing in front of tens of thousands of people with flamethrowers and lasers and loud music. Being told by my legal team that I'd created a faux pas by standing up in front of the government and challenging their dependence on alcohol and cigarettes, and that I needed to keep a low profile, which meant that I had to just shelve everything. And so I'd recorded an album, a lot of songs about freedom, and 10 years ago writing songs about pretty much about what's happening now, really, you know, heavy rock lyrics sort of delve into what some people might even call conspiracy theories, but we just see as like a clear worldview. And now after 10 years, I'm at a point where I can probably release that. And so this year I'm putting out a lot of music. If people follow Instagram, Starboy Matt Bowden, or just go to my website, mattbowden.com, just preparing to start doing theatrical shows and touring a new album at the end of this year. An immersive theatrical experience is what we try to create. The idea being that we want people to be able to have a true, full, immersive psychedelic experience without taking any drugs, just by looking at the lights and hearing the sounds and watching what's going on.
The brain is an interesting thing, and it's got all these different parts, and people have been looking at the brain for a long, long time, and they've determined that the only thing that can activate all those parts at once is music. It's frequency, isn't it?
And, absolutely. All we are is frequency. I mean, there's no actual solid objects anyway. If you collide things together, it feels like they're solid, but in fact, they are all just these subatomic particles with, which are resonating at different frequencies. There's nothing solid. I mean, this whole physical world is, well, we could get into that, but maybe that's not where we're going today.
No, well, I mean, I got asked one time by a couple of American talk radio hosts. They're like, Silvani, give it to us straight. Is the earth flat or is it round? And I went, well, I think it's a holographic fractal projection of collective consciousness experiencing itself subjectively.
Yeah.
And they were like, whoa. You know, because that's how the world is. It's holographic. That means whatever exists can never be completely destroyed, like energy. And whatever's big, there's also a small variant of it, and smaller, and bigger, and everything's just a smaller or larger version of something else, and everything's got consciousness, even matter, you know, and it's projecting and creating all of these things that are happening all around us, and it's all working together, but it's all experiencing itself as itself, and it doesn't realize necessarily that it's part of this whole greater whole. It doesn't realize necessarily that each and every action that it does take affects the entire fractal of all the infinite civilizations that live within you, and all the infinite civilizations that you live within are affected by your thoughts and your actions every minute of every day. And that makes it rather important to be alive and thinking and doing things that mean something.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd go with that. And to be in this present moment, the mind travels back and it travels forwards. And you know, we have anxieties, which is the mind traveling forwards and predicting potential negative realities. And then we have depression, which is our mind traveling back and regretting, you know, failures of the past. And, you know, the key is to stay in this present moment and to be here now and to choose our thoughts and select the ideas and visions that that we're inevitably going to be manifesting by our thoughts, you know, and to choose wisely. And like I learned about manifestation, a friend said to me, you know, if you want $20 million, then just hold it in your head that you've got the $20 million and don't let any other thought come in. And sure, you know, that works, but, you know, can bring so much strife as well if you're just manifesting purely out of selfishness, which is why today I'm looking at systems that can support the infrastructure of the community. And what can we manifest for our community? Can we set up and build a natural health system which can provide help and wellness to people using the technology that we just heard about in the ads there, our anti-aging and our terahertz waves and so on? Can we do that and provide that, you know, free of charge for people? You know, these are the sorts of things that I'm working on manifesting.
Well, it has happened in the past. I remember I was listening to a show with Congressman Ron Paul, who used to be a doctor, and he'd get paid maybe $1 per patient or something like that, like nothing, because that was all you needed back then, because people worked together and they had communities that all supported these local practices and things of that nature, because they understood the value of having their own doctor and keeping the community healthy, because the consequences of people being unhealthy and unproductive affect the entire community.
Well, this is exactly it. If people really understood how to manage their own health, and I think that this is part of the evolution that's happening with humanity at the moment, is we're realizing that we are one and that we are connected with something higher, and we can trust our intuition, and that if we can manage our own health, then we don't have so much dependence on other drugs, even, or you know, synthetics, or there's no requirement to go to the hospital or to use medicines if we're truly healthy. And a lot of that comes from within. And so that's what one of the things that we're doing. One of the things we found was that we were investing in advertising on things like Facebook, and then realized that we're spending money on an offshore organization whose values we don't align with. And they would tell us that they'd reject our ads unless we remove N-acetylcysteine, because in America they're trying to make that a medicine. But we're not even in America. We're in New Zealand, where it's not a medicine. Still, we have to change our ads and our wording because of this thing that's happening. And so we realized, do we really want to be feeding these giants? Feeding them is just going to cause them to grow. Realized instead, we don't want to do that. We want to build community. That's our values at X-Life, is to build community, not to feed other profit groups with our profit. And so what we've done is we set up an affiliate program. And so if you want to subscribe to a product like Rewind to sort of keep your age in check, or to have your biological age going backwards instead of forwards, or you want to use a product like Spike Detox, if you tell other people about it, then we just take a percentage of the money that they spend, and instead of spending it on Facebook for advertisements, we'll just make that available to you as store credit. And so the idea being that instead of spending money on advertising, we're just growing the community. And for those people that really need it, some people are really sick after spike exposures, whether it's from an injection or from an infection, and they can't work anymore. For those people, we want the product to be affordable. And the products really, they sell themselves. They shine out through the consumers. And so we just recognize that by setting up an affiliate program, so that if you're talking to other people about the product and you introduce them, then you get a reward for that. Just pure, plain and simple, to build those community groups. Yeah.
Just as you can today, ladies and gentlemen, Matt set up a little thing for me. So if you go to extralife.co.nz and order yourself some of that spike protein detox and use the code Eastwood, you will get $10 off. Additionally, I'd like to support David Holden at holdenhealthcare.com as well, my wonderful sponsor, who's also been helping to take care of me and my recent health ills. He's got a code as well, it's HHC. So you can either support me or support David Holden. David Holden really needs your support. So do I. It's a flip of the coin, ladies and gentlemen. Roll a dice or something. All right. Yeah. Matt, thank
David's
you so much
really
for joining
time. You should get him on the show.
I have had him on my show a number of times. I was going to have him today, but there's a bit of a scheduling conflict and kind of have you separate, so that's good. And so he'll be on basically as soon as I can get him. I've been thinking, you know, Matt, I haven't been doing enough shows, you know, I've just been doing one show a week, and I need to do a lot more than that. And so I've been doing my music and publishing videos and editing things and writing stuff and what have you, all to avoid the fact that I need to do more radio work. You ever get like that? You get incredibly productive just to avoid the thing you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I have to schedule myself and say during the day, 9 to 5, a little old-fashioned, I'm going to work on my business. And then at nighttime, I will focus on doing my rock and roll stuff, you know. And then, you know, I try to reward myself, set up a reward. If I do this much work, then I can have this much play. And then I can just, you know, break out my guitars and start yelping.
I thought it was very interesting after the lockdowns and everything, bands and jamming and all of that sort of stuff, it just disappeared, you know. It was very, very sad. And so many bands either broke up or haven't gotten back together or something like that, and including mine. And it's I think that's probably one of the worst things for me personally about all the lockdowns. You know, people have lost businesses, they've lost their marriages, they've had all of that kind of thing happen. But for me, it was just not being able to do music with my mates anymore. That really, really personally affected me. And I wish it had never happened, because now I don't have a band, you know.
What sort of music are you making, Vinny?
Folk and rock and indie, and you know, basically you just start playing a tune and I'll come up with lyrics. That's basically how it works. I'm like a freestyle rapper, except I come up with verses, choruses, bridges, and so on and so forth. It's ridiculous when you really think about it. I haven't met anybody else who can do it yet. But
so you come up with the whole structure. Blam, it's in live stream, is it?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's super cool. Well, yeah. Well, just keep. What's stopping you now?
I mean,
have you lost friends?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're still my friends and stuff like that, but my guitarist, Mike, he had to move down to frickin' Taumarunui. You know, try organising a jam when one of you lives 5 hours drive away. You know, that's a bit of a pain. We did go out to my dad's batch on Rings Beach, Coromandel in the Waikato just last weekend, and we did have a good jam and what have you, so that was good. But of course, now we're back in Auckland, back to our regular lives, and the music's gone.
Not something to do with having a baby, is it? Because typically that can have an impact on musical outputs.
Oh, well, maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But I think the band just not being there all in one place is kind of like the main thing. But with the baby, what I've been doing is I've got, I think, 80 good songs, my producer tells me, that are like kind of good enough to be on an album. And so what I'm doing is I'm creating two videos of each of them. One is a green screen thing with just the lyrics down the bottom so that people can remix their own music videos of them. And the other one is just I go around and drive the baby to get him to sleep sometimes, and I just take driving footage. And I speed it up or slow it down depending on the lyrics or the beat of the song in various parts. And so it's just a basic little driving footage video with the song in the background kind of thing. And I think I've done like about 5 of them now in the last 2 weeks, and I've got about 75 more to go. Just getting my demos out there and hoping that we'll find a producer or somebody that wants to invest or something like that, because we've got a song half finished in the studio at Magic Sound Recordings that I really want to get done, but I just don't have the money. So I was like, God damn.
You've got to get it out there. Yeah, when we were sort of flying, we created a steampunk mini movie, which was about 20 minutes, and it was really high production value, just because in New Zealand so many people were so passionate to get together and work on this project. And you can find it if you go to my mattbowden.com or look up Starboy Eternity on YouTube. And but not sustainable to keep making these movies like we did then. But yeah, so my next album is going to be a bit of a mixture, as you say, of some stuff recorded with green screen, and then probably using different animation techniques to carry on the story of the interdimensional traveler Starboy. And Starboy's world, it's like steampunk, but everything's, all of the tools and weapons and everything are all made out of musical instruments. And so the idea is that it's frequency, and it's by changing frequency and using music as frequency to lift you from one plane to another. Starboy's planet is actually flat, and so you can get run off the planet and fall off the edge, you know, if you're not careful. But he has a wingsuit, so he can fly to higher realms and lower. And that's kind of how I see reality as well. I mean, the world, you can have a round world is really good if you want to get from one place to another. But if you're sitting in meditation, it's nicer to think of yourself as being on that plane and have higher planes and lower planes and etc.
Well, we have the website Starboy up at the moment, and just seeing this massive collage of pictures of Matt and all, doing all this dynamic stuff. It's just fantastic, mate. And what they say is that when you're creating something, the most important thing about it is that it has to feel genuine to you. And if it's genuine to you, it'll feel genuine to other people because it's real. Right, there's something real about it.
Yeah, when you're in the zone, and this is what I found previously with manifesting, is that you need to be in the right energetic state, the right frequency, if you like. And that for me, sitting in the studio just with guitars and being able to just come up with a riff and then listen to that riff, listen to that music and pick up what is the vibe of that music, what's it saying, and then let that transform into words and then bring those words out. That was my sort of creative process. And then, I ended up, creating this story, which became the story of my life about this alchemist being run out of town. And then as we were actually filming that part of the alchemist with a lynch mob being run out of town, 60 Minutes showed up to make a documentary about me. And they started filming the lynch mob, and then they became the lynch mob. They then created this story that I was wanting to, that my motives were not pure, and they presented me in a really bad light. And then next minute, I actually had real life lynch mobs forming all around me. Once I started talking about we should have an alternative to alcohol, suddenly the animal rights people were really well funded and had all these really fancy placards, and they were marching in every town across New Zealand with these placards and with the TV crews, there somehow on side with the planning so they could get good footage. And so I got lynched and run out of town. So it's interesting how coming into the creative space, you access the part of your being that's not locked in space-time, and you're out there in the cosmos, and you can see and perceive even future events and so on.
Dave Chappelle, he had this phrase, I think a quote in the start of his performance, and it said that real art is dangerous. That's its allure. As soon as there's no risk, it loses its desire.
Yeah. It's being in that space of the unknown. David Bowie said something similar in Moon Age Daydream, that you're getting to that point where you are no longer comfortable, you're not in your comfort zone, and you're kind of out beyond it, and out there is where the magic starts to happen. And that's something that I've experienced as well. But also the idea that even like if you look at, say, George Orwell, 1984 is a classic example, and then look at the world now, you can see that reality sort of imitates art. And it's the idea that nothing happens unless the prophets sort of see it first, that just calls into question the linearity of time, and our place in it. Maybe we're going too far out there, I don't know.
Well, no, it's true, because sometimes if you're creating something, music or art or something, you people call it the zone or whatever. There's no real thought behind it. It's just sort of like, it's like a string that's pulling you upwards and you're simply following it. You're like, where's this going? I don't know what that is. And eventually you do something there and you finish the recording and you listen back to it and you're like, whoa, that was awesome. Thank you very much, whoever gave me that. And Matt Bowden, ladies and gentlemen, get the Spike Protein Detox from extralife.co.nz. That's Extra Life with an X there. Check out his music at mattbowden.com, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you so much, Matt, for joining us. And we will see you again, ladies and gentlemen, next time at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
My pleasure. It was a trip.